Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard. And today's episode is a four questions episode. And we have filmmaker Diliana Del Chavo with us. Hey, Diliana.
Hi.
Hey, so her film, Sweetheart, is this excellent film. I demand you watch it as soon as you can. You can actually see it on the Discover Indie Film TV series on Amazon Prime Video. Just go to Prime Video any way you can get there, but hopefully on the biggest TV you can find. Search for Discover Indie Film. And Diliana's film, Sweetheart, is season 3, episode 5. It's called Sweetheart. It's fantastic. It plays with another fantastic film right after it called Girlfriend. And that is my pitch for you to watch her film. But this episode of this podcast, Diliana is going to answer the four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. And I will just shut up and let her answer the first question, which is your favorite films of all time, no pressure, and try to limit it to 3, but you know, do what you got to do.
Okay, so I'm going to change the prompt a little bit, and it's not going to be favorite films of all time, because I have a really hard time distilling it to, you know, 3 favorite films, because films to me are about the moment. It's about the period of time that I watch them, and what they just have a different meaning depending on when I watch them. So what I'll do is I'll give you 3 of my favorite films that have impacted me and that I was really impressed with. How about that? So one of the films is 13. It's a movie about two teenage girls. I think it's Catherine Hardwicke is the director. Yes. And I remember watching that film, and I guess I probably watched it when I was closer to that age, and it really impacted me because I thought she did such an amazing job of, just capturing the reality of what it's like to be a teenage girl and all the trouble you can get into and how complicated relationships are. So I still think back to that movie all the time.
That movie's like a horror film for parents.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it really impacted me and still does. And I thought it was really great filmmaking.
Yeah. Very well made. Yeah.
And acting. The other one is, this is something I watched recently, The Father. And that was one of the nominees. I thought that film was brilliantly done, specifically because of the perspective that they took on dementia and how the film was told. I thought the filmmaking was brilliant. Of course, everything else was brilliant. Anthony Hopkins, like, you have an all-star cast, but just the point of view of the film was so fresh and so brilliant. And it just got me excited watching it. I was like, whoa, they're blowing my mind with how they're telling the story. And the last film is Minding the Gap by Bing Liu. And that's another film where I just, I bow down to the filmmakers. Such an incredibly made film. It feels like a documentary, but it's actually, it's the stories of these, all of these friends. I think these, the 3 or 4 friends, again, it feels so real. I love slice of life. I love drama. And so those films to me, Minding the Gap, just like got, any movie that can get me to laugh and cry is a win. And that movie really got me to feel something.
Absolutely. And extra cool too, that I love films like that, that take a subculture like skateboarding and treat it with respect instead of like the cheesy way Hollywood would normally portray skateboarders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you seem to have a soft spot for coming of age films.
Yeah, I think so. I know. I'm realizing that now too.
You know what? Full confession, I didn't watch The Father because I dealt with a father with dementia and I haven't been up for it yet. I probably should watch it. But, you know, we throw around this coming of age term all the time, but you know what? In old age, we have coming of age moments too.
And The Father, you could argue, is a coming of age story.
Yeah. Yeah. That just popped in my head. All right. I'll have to watch it.
Very well put together. I mean, if you're ready for it, you know.
I think I'm ready. It's been a year and a half almost, so getting in the clear.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I shouldn't talk this way. Okay, so question number two is a film that's underrated.
Okay, underrated. So this is a horror film, and it's called His House. And I watched it. I actually don't know when it came out. The director is Remy Weeks. And it's a smaller and more independent type of horror film, but the drama in it, I thought, was really well told. Again, I watch a lot of, my husband is a huge horror fan. We watch a lot of horror films, and some of them are just there with the typical horror tropes and, you know, just whatever, there to entertain you. But His House, I thought, was a really well-made drama. Those are the stories that get me all the time. And it's about immigrants, which also I connected to. Very surreal, very beautifully made. And I thought it was underrated. I thought maybe there was some marketing out there. I don't even know how we ended up watching it, just because we get suggestions for horror films all the time because we watch a lot of them. But I thought it left me like, this thing needs to get recognition. I thought it was really good.
Thank you for the recommendation. I had not seen it, and I live with a 14-year-old woman who made us almost exclusively watch horror all lockdown. And it is a gamble. You go to the horror tab of Netflix,
yeah,
and one in five is brilliant. But yeah, you watch a lot. Oh, I saw a lot of crappy horror in the last year and a half too.
Sure. There's a lot of them out there. Cause you know, sometimes you don't need a good story to watch a fun horror, but when you have the combination of the two, it's like, yes. All right.
Absolutely. Okay. Good recommendation. Now question number three is a film that is overrated, and I'll add the caveat. I maybe say it every time, but you're not saying it's a bad film. You're just saying it could be great film. You could love it, but the critical acclaim it received was not commensurate with its quality in your mind. Maybe I did make that bad after all.
I'll have to say The Irishman, because I think that it was just so talked about. And again, it's a good film. I felt like it was too long. And I'm a huge, huge fan of Italian mafioso movies. Like I love The Godfathers. I love all those movies. And it didn't do it for me.
I guess I might as well confess that I have not finished it. I tried and tried. And I was like, Do I really care? I've seen De Niro and Scorsese just knock these out of the park before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've even told people, like, when I stopped, they're like, oh, it was about to get great. And I'm like, well, at a certain level, I'm not sure that a director should demand I be bored for X number of hours before they kick into gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you 30, 45 minutes, but all right. A lot of people just got mad at me for basically saying The Irishman is boring, but
I know. And I almost didn't say it, but it's like, you're always going to make somebody upset with this one. But
yeah, no, and it is
what it is.
Yeah, and Scorsese has definitely stepped away from the organized crime genre.
You know, yeah,
he's done a lot of great stuff away from it. But when the guy who made Goodfellas goes back to it again, kind of got to have a higher. Like, it's maybe it's unfair, but you set the bar pretty high.
Yeah,
like if
yeah.
it's not better or equal to Goodfellas, why bother?
Yeah. And maybe he just made it for himself, and that's fine too, you know?
These guys got lifestyles. What could I say? I'm rubbing my fingers together for cash, because I've even heard Scorsese, like, I think, didn't he at one point had like the business manager rip him off, and he's like, or it might've been Gangs of New York. Like, he had to put his own money in, and then he didn't get his money back out. And he was like,
oh,
I got to take some projects. I got to, you know, it's not that cheap to live in Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh, Gangs in New York. I love that film. That's a good one.
Oh, so good.
That's such a good one.
Oh my God.
Add that to my three favorites.
Feel free. All right. Well, the final question is the fun one. It's a lesser known that people should seek out.
Okay. I'm going to go back with a horror film, And I'm going to recommend Raw, the film Raw.
R-A-W?
R-A-W. It's a horror film by a female director. I'm going to butcher her last name, but it's Julia Ducournau or Ducournay. She's French. I know it's probably nothing like what I just said. But it's another coming of age story. Surprise. And it's, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's about cannibalism. It's just such a fresh perspective on a cannibal movie. And I love it. And it makes me want to watch it tonight.
Makes me want to watch it tonight. So it's from 2016. All right. And, in French, the title was Grave.
Wonder why we translated it to Raw.
Whoever released it in this country decided to go for the cannibalism angle.
Yeah,
oh, very exactly. Cool. I'm excited. I'm excited about the good horror recommendations.
Yeah. Yes. That's it.
That's it. All right. Good job. It's fun. These four questions episodes are, you know, this podcast is fun because you get these long hour plus interviews for those who really want to dive into the process of filmmaking and people's personal art. And then we have nice little 10, 15 minute episodes for the short attention span people who just want to hear some good movie recommendations.
I love that.
Excellent. All right. Well, you want to tell people to go to thebadzebra.com?
Yeah, you could go to thebadzebra.com to check out some of my work. But also if you go to Gravina_films on Instagram, you could see some of the latest projects that I've been working on. And hopefully more of my work will be out there.
Hopefully in 5 years, you're like, you know, this big shot director and people go back and like, listen to you when you are finishing your second short.
That will happen.
Nice. I like it. All right, well, let me wrap it up with thebadzebra.com or at Gravina_films is where you can look up Deliana Delchev's work. And you can also watch it if you go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, go to season 3, episode 5 to see her film Sweetheart, which I promise you can watch that film and then have a 2-hour discussion about what went on in that film. It is, what more could you ask for from art than inspiring people to have deep, interesting discussions about it? So learn about the TV series and this podcast at discoverindiefilm.com. And the social media for the podcast and TV series is at DIFWINS. And I'll add, please be nice and give 5 stars and thumbs up to this podcast and the TV series. Just do both. And give 5 stars to anything you see Deliana's name attached to. You know, we live in a Yelp-oriented society now, so give nice reviews to everyone. It doesn't hurt you. And I didn't mention that I met Deliana when Sweetheart played at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. That festival happens every November here in Sherman Oaks. And you can learn more at ShermanOaksFF.com. And on social media, it's at ShermanOaksFF. We're actually recording this in October. This podcast probably won't come out until December, to be honest. I've got a bunch in the can. And with the festival next month, I'm only releasing 1 filmmaker a week so that I can have time for the festival. But after you... So you're hearing this. We just had an 8-day film festival. When Deliana was there in 2019, it was 4 days. We've doubled. It's
nice.
Just so much great work, and we've really grown.
Congrats.
Thanks to that top 100 best reviewed festivals on Film Freeway.
And it really was one of the best festivals I've been to. So thank you. Thank you for being so welcoming and complimentary and just such a lovely person to be around. As a filmmaker, I feel like you don't get that type of treatment until you're maybe have like a really big film in Sundance or something. But like, it's just so nice to feel special and to feel heard.
Well, you did great work. I don't do this for the people who don't. And I'll add, when I was, the story is 20, 25 years ago, I was in your position and I was making films, and I actually left it to do focus on the business side of the industry. But when I was on the festival circuit in the 90s, most people were dicks, and there was one particular festival programmer who called me at home to say bravo before the festival, and he was the nicest guy, and I was like, there should be more people like that, so I'm trying to be one.
And, thank you for that.
Paying it, he paid it to me, now I'm paying it forward. I don't know. I never saw that movie, to be honest, but I know the term. All right, so I mentioned the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, and thank you for the kind comments about it. There's actually a sister festival, because you got to have two a year to stay busy. Every June, we hold Film Invasion Los Angeles, and you can learn about that at filminvasionla.com, and it's at Film Invasion LA on social media. No pressure, but your new film, you should probably submit it to that, since we're taking submissions now.
Yeah.
And if you want a screening here in the Valley in June, I can't promise it's in, but you know the program.
Of course not. I mean, hopefully it's good and you'll be impressed and it'll get in.
Certainly, I'm rooting for you. I am rooting for you. All right. Well, thank you, Diliana, for having fun here.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone who's listening. Yeah.